Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology-agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help. And now, we turn it over to your host, Sarah Dokowitz.
Hello and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journeys. This show will help you dial in on what it takes to drive a successful digital transformation, from the high-level strategies to the detail-oriented practices that you may not have otherwise known. Over the next 20 minutes, we'll cover the things you need to know to make your digital transformation successful and improve upon your existing operations. My name is Sarah Dokowitz, and I'm your host, and thank you so much for joining us today. For today's conversation, we're going to dive into creating the perfect OCM strategy. Organizational change management is one of the most pressing and critical elements of a digital transformation. If you don't have a solid OCM strategy in place, it's probable that you're going to invest ample time and resources without seeing the full return on your investment. Anyone who listens to this show knows the role OCM plays, but I want to go a bit deeper and find out what truly maximizes an OCM strategy. What is the secret sauce? Now, with me today to talk through making the most delicious OCM secret sauce is Teresa Richardson, change management consultant with Third Stage Consulting. Teresa is a ProSci certified change management practitioner and certified executive leadership coach. She's helped countless organizations, ranging from industries like manufacturing to healthcare to wealth management, both in the public and private sector. Hey, Teresa, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
I am super glad to be here. I'm very excited to talk about one of my passions.
Heck yes. Yes. Well, let's dive in then. So since one of your areas of expertise is OCM, I would love to hear your perspective on why change management is so important when it comes to implementing a new software. So at a high level, what would you say are the ingredients that make up an OCM secret sauce?
Sure. There are several pieces to a successful OCM transformation. There's organizational readiness, resistance identification and management, which is super important because it could be voluntary or involuntary, and being able to identify those factors sooner rather than later up front is really going to help propel the program further. Encouraging and embracing ownership within the team as well. It's very important from the top down and everyone in the middle to really own what we're doing and be accountable and accept it, as well as to communicate what's going on, again, sooner rather than later, because the last thing you want to do is introduce these implementations right in the middle or closer to the end, and then you have a lot of questions and people feeling like you didn't let us know. So having that communication up front is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Communication is key with so many things.
It really is.
So I would love to really dive into the elements that you just listed also that go into truly fine-tuning your OCM strategy. So you mentioned like the value that performing a readiness assessment can bring to a digital transformation. So what is a readiness assessment?
So for me, it's really a great beneficial exercise to understand and gauge the level of readiness your organization is at to successfully undergo these ERP transformations and implementations. A lot of times people only focus on the process or the technology, but you know, like I say, 10,000 times a day, if your process, unless your process was like 99.999% automated, there are people that you need to consider with the change. And OCM really addresses the people side of the change, which is very important to any of these implementations and transformations.
Awesome. And how would you say that you perform the readiness assessment?
So we perform them several ways. We use surveys and stakeholder interviews. Within the surveys, there's a couple touch points that we measure. We use a survey to understand the perception of the case for change within an organization, right? So does your organization realize or understand that we need to change if we want to meet the goals we have projected out for the company? If there's growth, do our employees see the need for change, or what are their perceptions or understanding for that? We look at the transformation, agility, and leadership within the organization, the internal communication strength. So do people talk? Do they let us know what's going on sooner rather than later, as mentioned before? And who communicates is really important as well. We look at training and support, the history of that piece within an organization. Do they have great training and support? Are those opportunities for improvement? Is it an internal thing, or do they have an external consultant come in? We look at performance and accountability. And honestly, one of the most important things to me is the operational capability and culture. If your culture doesn't have that embracing change type behavior, it's going to be difficult. So understanding how you can address that culture perspective, as well as, is your operation capable of these changes? Do we have all the pieces ready and ready to go, or do we need to develop those? So those are a lot of the touch points that we use to understand your organization's readiness for change.
Kat, like, would you ever say that you could tell from these surveys that there would be resistance? And if so, like, what is it that you're looking for? Yeah, what kind of answers are you kind of looking for in those surveys to know whether there will be that resistance or not?
So I would say the number one thing to me is participation, right? So if I send out surveys, or if I set up stakeholder interviews to really dig deep or ask some questions, and I have 100 people and I get 5, well, that tells me there's an issue. Like, why don't we have more people who are willing to participate? Mm-hmm. When I do get the information and we move to the next stage, so, and I ask people questions, or the responses are very pinpointed or targeted, I get a lot of maybe closed end answers versus something more descriptive. Usually people who are accepting and embracing something want to be part of the conversation. But if I get a yes, no, maybe, et cetera, et cetera, then that's like, okay, we better like coach this person, or have the, you know, just some understanding of what's going on, or why are you resistant? For unintentional, when I interview people, if I get a lot of the body language that's closed off, I can tell something's going on. And 9 times out of 10, really probing and asking the questions, I can understand where that resistance is coming from and address it with an action plan. And again, an intentional resistance is someone who just doesn't show up, late for meetings, isn't prepared, or they're the naysayer. Everything is like a problem. Every time I give a potential solution, it's knocked down. So those are not indicative of real resistance, like, I'm just not going to do it. It's more of understanding of why. So in my opinion, and I've been doing this for a long time, people don't show up to work to want to do a bad job, right? People go to work to want to be a part of something, to create something. So if I do find resistance, it's my job at third stage to understand what it is and how we can help the organization move to a successful transformation.
Humans we're very interesting in our behaviors, and there's always, you know, somebody that we need to coach through a little bit too, and yeah, you know, help them, and then also help see their perspective as well. And like you absolutely said, their why, what is the why behind it all?
And absolutely. Yeah. And honestly, sometimes the individuals who are the biggest resistors, once you break down what the true root cause is, they become your biggest proponents, your biggest cheerleaders. It's like, if you can get that person on board with what you're doing and what you're going to achieve, it will take you miles further than you would ever expect. So
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I know that we have a lot to unpack here, so we're going to dive deeper right after a quick break. So for those of you listening, be sure to stay tuned for more of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Welcome back to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. I'm Sarah Dogovich speaking with Teresa Richardson from Third Stage Consulting. So let's get back into it, because before the break, you were talking about the key ingredients to creating the secret sauce that will set your OCM strategy apart from the rest. Now, if you think about it, change is also about perception, and influence is birth from perceived value. So when going through a change, how can you inspire influence for your greater team?
So I think one of the things that I would really impress upon anyone is to listen to understand versus listen to respond. I think that speaks volumes to the intent of what you're trying to do. When you listen to understand, it tells your audience you're respecting what they're saying. You really want to be engaging. You want to get their feedback. And then the next step is taking that feedback and making it actionable, because they deserve a response. And I get a lot of questions like, well, what if, you know, you have to tell them something they don't like to hear? Well, I personally have said that we need to communicate back to why this was a great idea, or why this is, we can't do this at this time, et cetera, et cetera. The last thing you want to do is try to elicit engagement and then not capitalize on that, right? So if I ask you a question, I don't give you a response, what does that tell you as a person, right? Yeah. So you got to be able to have that engagement and that conversation, and that engagement really encourages ownership across the whole spectrum of the people who need to engage in the new software or the process. You need to be open and honest. You need to make sure that if someone asks you that question, or the group, you give them a response, as well as to use their ideas. So it goes a long way if you're bringing someone into a plan, right, that a lot of people have put together. You're asking the team members, the stakeholders, to be a part of it. If you give them an opportunity to make a suggestion or an idea, even if it's a small one, and implement that, that will go a long way, because that creates your accountability and your ownership.
Definitely. And we've talked about influencer methods as well on previous episodes. So can you describe that strategy in helping to drive change?
Sure. So one of the things that I know that, again, I said, people come to work to want to do a good job. If they don't, it's because of X, Y, and Z. And 9 times out of 10, it has to do with the fact that maybe they don't understand the change. Maybe they don't know how to interact with the new software. So training and support is very, very important from like learning and development. If you understand that they have an issue with it, and you're teaching them and you're training them, they know how to do it, they will absolutely engage in the process. And at that point, you can also identify peer influencers who can help the rest of the team kind of move through the change. Again, it's, you know, your biggest opponent could be your largest proponent if you address the resistance that you're seeing. And it's also very, very helpful to, again, gaining that ownership by listening to understand what they're saying and enact based on what the question is. So
Now, I wanted to pivot to communication. So how you communicate, when you communicate it, and who communicates it are all elements to an OCM strategy that you need to be mindful of. So could you walk us through the timeline first? Like, when should communication begin, and how often should communications and updates be sent out to the greater team about the status and intentions of a transformation project?
Wow, great question. I wish I could bring you to every meeting that I'm involved in. It's really important to communicate sooner rather than later. Any and every organization I've been in, there's a grapevine. You know, you have the telephone thing going on. So when you're making these decisions, updating your team sooner rather than later is very important. Whenever there's a major milestone that is completed, or, you know, potential training or development opportunities, making sure that's communicated out is very, very important as well. I prefer cascaded communication, which is basically answering that what's in it for me at whatever level that stakeholder is at, because ideally you would like an organizational change to come from the CEO or executive sponsor, so everybody can hear it from the top person, right? Mm-hmm. When you have changes that are impacting team level, those should come from like the manager or the team lead or someone who has that direct connection with the team. So the cascaded communication really has that. At what level are these changes being impacted, and who's going to communicate that out? So that is very important, is that you keep that as a consistency, as well as, you know, updates and celebrating wins. And you don't have to always just send out an email or, you know, have a town hall. Being creative in your communication goes a long, long, long way.
My next question was going to be like, who should be sending them, like, as far as the communications, and what should they be talking about? So you kind of covered it. Is there anything else that we could add to that, or is that pretty much?
I would say that one of the biggest things you could do to help encourage that communication is to keep it transparent, being open and honest, making sure that they have the most updated information, as well as addressing the whole what's in it for me perspective, because people, again, they want to understand what the change is and how does it impact my daily life? How can I help, et cetera? So that would be my suggestion.
Absolutely. I love it, because these are the details that are, you know, often overlooked. So I want to thank you for peeling back the layers there with me. So if our listeners want to learn more about organizational change strategy or transformations in general, what are some resources that you might suggest for them?
Contacting Third Stage Consulting would be a great first step. And again, I would really look at the model of change. So, you have that the change triangle, which is basically, you know, your people, your process, and your technology, investigating what that is and really understanding, again, how to engage with the people that you are around or you're working with within these transformations.
Perfect. I love it. And we're pretty much out of time, and I think you answered all the questions that I have for you today, but I wanted to thank you so much for your time and your knowledge today, Teresa.
You are very welcome.
Of course. Thank you. And I wanted to thank all of you for listening as well. Again, my name is Sarah Dukovic, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
Contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.